Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Telling you what, Decked is a game changer. Decked has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Decked.com/meat eater to receive free shipping. Go to Decked.com/meat eater and get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I am your host, Spencer Newharth, and I have some good news and bad news. The bad news is we don't have Steve Rinella or Brody Henderson here today, but the good news is we have Clay Newcomb here.
That's
Clay,
right.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man.
Woo!
Be Clay easy to fill the hole those two boys left.
Why is it bad news that they're not here?
Yeah.
It feels like this room is...
Energy's better?
Positive.
It's just generally
more positive.
I feel like we can
more
talk.
Timely.
I feel like we can speak.
It's definitely a younger crowd.
Yeah, a lot younger.
Now, Clay is the only person who is undefeated at trivia. He has played once and he's won once. How's that feel?
Man, it feels great to be on top of the mountain, man.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Now, Clay, I have to tell you a secret. Keep this between us. Don't tell Steve or Cal or Mark. But I think Bear Grease is the best podcast Meat Eater has.
Yes. Thank you.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you.
What
it's
should
a new
folks...
hard stamp of approval.
That's right. You were giving me a preview before the show of what's to come on Bear Grease in the next few months. Tell these listeners what they can expect.
You want me to go into the details?
No. Not that amount of detail.
I'll give you a whole podcast right now, man. Steve's not here. I can talk. No. So we're gonna do a series on some of Arkansas's most notorious turkey poachers of all time.
Oh,
nice. They were guys that they were much older than me. They were my father's age, but I grew up with them. And they just in the last year, there was two brothers. One of them passed away, and it's a pretty incredible story. Interviewed the game wardens that chased them, interviewed their family, and the wild part is, Giannis Boutelis, is you're going to have a hard time not being endeared to these men.
Mm.
I'm going to leave it right there.
That's a good tease. Now, we are also joined by Gabby Wilson. This is her first time on the show. Gabby, tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
I am the social media coordinator.
What does that mean?
I coordinate the social media. I schedule posts. I actually work pretty closely with Misty Newcomb and the Wild and Whole team and schedule posts for them and work with the content over there. So, yep.
Gabby, welcome to the show. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions born out of Meat Eater's four verticals. What are they, Yanni?
Hunting, fishing, eating, and conservation.
That's right, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. So far, we've had Steve win 5 times, Brody win 4, and Clay, Seth, Giannis, and Corinne each win once. So you're going to have a first-time winner or a second-time winner today. No Steve or Brody to get in the
way. But do you have the stats as to like what their ratio from wins to... How many times they've played?
By far in first place, if we're talking ratio.
Because Steve, so you're saying Steve's played a lot more.
Well, ratio would be Clay Newcomb, who's played once and won once.
One for one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. So where then does...
Then I think we'd have Brody Henderson next.
So even though Steve's got one more win, Brody's done it in less tries.
That's right. Now, today in the room, besides Clay and Gabby, we also have Giannis Boutelis, Ryan Callahan, Seth Morris, Corinne Schneider, and Rick Hutton. I'm thinking with this crew, it's going to take like 6 correct answers to win. So it's going to be the bar. Now, we have some housekeeping.
Was that a dig?
No. Not a dig at all.
How do you feel about that, Gabby? It's going to take 6 to win with this crew.
I don't have very high expectations.
Interpret that for me. I'm lost, is what he's saying.
It's as much about the questions as it is about the group answering them.
That was diplomatic.
How are you forming these questions? Do you take into account the people that are in the room?
Sometimes. If we have a guest, I will. But no one in this room counts as a guest. So these are just straight up Meat Eater 4 vertical questions. Now, we have some housekeeping to get to. We previously talked about who sings the 30-point buck. While many believe it's the Upers, it's actually Bananas at Large. The Wisconsin band released that song in 1989. Also, on a previous show, we had a question about what are the only states with a flathead catfish record over 100 pounds. I was only looking at hook and line records, which would make the answer Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. But if you factor in trot line records, then Oklahoma and Texas would be added to the list. Brody nor Steve answered Oklahoma or Texas there, so it wouldn't affect the outcome of the game. And with that, we are now on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, as always, will be multiple choice. The topic is fishing. Which of these is not a crankbait color sold by Rapala? Is it pink squirrel, bleeding clown, root beer crawdad, or patriotic shad? Again, which of these is not a crankbait color sold by Rapala? Pink squirrel, bleeding clown, root beer crawdad, or patriotic shad? Seth, how are you feeling about this?
Actually, not confident. And I spent a lot of time looking at Rapala's.
I know. I was, after my little trip down the Yellowstone recently, I was buying and looking at crankbaits, and I didn't see half of those answers.
Does everybody have an answer?
There's a lot of custom colors these days, so.
There's too many variations. It's like a horrible math problem.
Clay, I know you've only played once, but you're supposed to hide your answer.
Okay. All right, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying bleeding clown, Gabby saying bleeding clown, Clay saying bleeding clown, Corinne saying bleeding clown, Rick saying bleeding clown, Seth saying pink squirrel, and Yana saying patriotic shad. Nobody said root beer crawdad. The correct answer is patriotic shad.
No way.
Giannis got it correct.
Giannis got it right?
Giannis got it right. Other
unique
names.
How'd you know that, Giannis?
I guessed that. Like I said, there was a couple that I hadn't heard recently being on there.
That's a gutsy guess. I mean, you're attacking something patriotic?
Exactly.
My God.
Wow.
You must
wow.
be a liberal.
I am.
Bitch. Jeez.
Mostly. But I figured it just depends on who I'm hanging out with, actually, whether I'm liberal or not. But no, because I figured that was like, everybody would figure, of course, Rapala would have a patriotic shad. What fishing company wouldn't have a patriotic shad?
I bet you're good at paper, rock, scissors. I bet you're good at paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah. Because
rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors.
That's the way you play.
Whatever, man. No. But when you know what the guy's gonna do, so you calculate what he knows you're gonna do, and you do something different. That's what Giannis did.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see that.
The double cross.
You threw me off with the
paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah.
There goes one of the 6 I needed to win.
Other unique names from Rapala include hot thing. Mustard, Caribbean shad, black wonder bread, green tiger, voodoo haze, demon, juicy Lucy, blue ghost, and my personal favorite, moldy fruit.
See, some of those are the new custom colors, aren't they?
A couple of them are new. Yeah, but the bleeding clown's been around for a while. I've caught some of the biggest walleye on
but
the bleeding clown.
Like clown I'm very familiar with. There's always like clown something I didn't know.
Here's what Rapala liked to do about 6 years ago. They took all of their classic colors, and then they put a red bill on them and then called them bleeding blank. So that's where you get the bleeding clown.
Yep.
We are now on to question two. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Brandon Hart. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. America's last legally killed jaguar was shot by a deer hunter in what state? America's last legally killed jaguar was shot by a deer hunter in what state? Some quick answers in the room. Some erasing by Seth. Second guess.
I just erased my small answer and made it bigger so it's easier for you
to see.
There we
go. That's how confident
That's
he is.
That's courtesy right there.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Arizona. Gabby saying Florida. Clay saying Arizona. Corinne saying Florida. Rick saying Texas. Seth saying Arizona. And Giannis saying Arizona. Giannis is 2 for 2. The correct answer is Arizona.
Right.
This jaguar was a male killed in 1965 in Arizona's Patagonia Mountains. Although their distribution used to go as far east as Louisiana, as far west as California, and as far north as Colorado, it's believed the only ones left in America are in very southern Arizona.
Spencer, and New Mexico. You know? Hey, I'm gonna fill you in on the so I don't write in to correct you.
Okay.
Warner Glenn in 1996 bayed with his mountain lion dogs in New Mexico, the first live documented jaguar. Like all the other jaguars they'd brought in dead up until that point.
Well, you can't really call them mountain lion dogs now, can he?
They're jaguar dogs. Well, they have. He's bayed two, but it was in New Mexico.
I like it.
There
have been a few killed since then in Arizona, but they were, I think one was poached by a couple like teenage duck hunters, and then the other one was killed by a mountain lion hunter. I don't think he knew what he was shooting.
Spencer, do you know what the best movie of all time is?
No, what is it?
Raising Arizona.
There you go. Are you a big Nick Cage fan?
How can you not be? Come on. Bottomless talent.
That's right. We are on to question three. The topic is foraging. What does the colorful acronym LBM stand for in foraging? What does the colorful acronym LBM stand for in foraging? A quick answer from Ryan Callahan, but the rest of the room looks fairly stumped.
Stump. That's a good mushroom pun, Spencer.
LBM?
LBM.
Boy. Seth, Corinne could start a fire with that brain activity.
Man, Seth's like the guy that if you leave your cards hanging down just a little bit, you know, you're just trying to be
got me through college.
Like leaning around.
Yeah, it's not a buddy's game around here. Prison rules.
If you want to copy off mine, you can, because it is not right.
Yeah, mine's not right either.
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
You're still guessing.
You don't have to have one.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a pass on
You're
this
out,
one.
Rick.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying little brown mushrooms. Gabby saying light, bright, blank. Clay saying, what does that say?
Leave behind many.
Leave behind many. I like that. That's good.
That's good.
It's like CPR for mushroom hunting.
If that's not one, it should be one.
Corinne saying something blossoming something. Rick without an answer, Seth saying little blue mushroom, and Giannis saying little brown mushroom. Giannis is 3 for 3. The correct answer is little brown mushrooms.
God. Really?
Seth, you were right there.
Is cleaning house.
You were right there.
Well, now, did Giannis have mushrooms pluralized? I'm just saying, I took the time to write in an ass.
Thank you for filling in for Steve while he's not here. Yeah. Now, this isn't a scientific term, but it's popular in the mushroom hunting community. LBMs are largely avoided by foragers because the group doesn't contain many choice edibles. Some LBMs are in the psychedelic category, while others can kill you. If you're new to foraging, it's best to just avoid LBMs altogether.
You even said the word mushroom after the question was asked.
Right.
Steve would have chopped your head off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's because he's horribly insecure. He's got nothing to do with the game. That's just a personal thing.
We're on to question 40.
We can edit that out, right? Nope.
Yeah. The topic is hunting. This next great question.
Hold on. Meat Eater Trivia with no Steve Rinella, a.k.a. Roast Steven Rinella.
Steve Rinella.
You know what? I was pretty sure that's what it would devolve into, and here we are.
Mm. How come we're not roasting Brody at all?
He's too innocent.
Brody's a nice guy.
It'd be over his head.
Get it?
Now, the topic is haunting. This next great question comes to us via Tom Marshall. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. A bench leg deer is a hybrid of what two animals? A bench leg deer is a hybrid of what two animals?
Bench.
Bench leg.
Bench, B-E-N-C-H. A bench leg deer. Question.
I've never heard of it.
Nah. If me and Seth hadn't heard of it, it ain't real.
Yeah, it ain't real.
A hybrid of...
A bench leg deer is a hybrid of what two animals? Nobody knew this one off the bat. Going to be a lot of educated guesses in the room.
Hmm. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, mine doesn't make sense either. I don't think mine's even possible. The more I think about it.
A bench leg deer.
I'm going off of regional colloquialism.
Does everybody have an answer? Rick is furiously writing.
Gabby, just Rick's write down two animals. Two Come on.
But then I'm going to look stupid if...
Corinne's
oh,
writing
no.
her abstract to the, the paper she's about to put out about these two
Corinne's
animals.
Corinne's drawing a picture of it.
A bench leg deer. Bench leg.
Is this possible? I don't know.
We'll find out. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying a mule deer and a whitetail. Gabby saying a coyote and a deer. Clay saying a mule deer and a blacktail. Corinne saying a moose and a deer. Rick saying a fallow deer and a mule deer. Mm. Seth saying a whitetail and a sika. And Giannis saying a blacktail and a mule deer. Giannis is on fire. It is a blacktail and a mule deer.
Oh, so I had that written down. But
hey, Clay got it too.
That they're like there's such a debate on in areas of whether it is a mule deer or a blacktail anyway that I said, oh, that doesn't make any sense. They're too close.
Most bench
legs
appear.
It's the only two I've even heard of, you know, mating. So.
Oh, really? Not the
now.
Not
why
the
do they
tail?
Call them? Sorry.
Huh?
Why do they call them bench legs?
Yeah, did you
legs?
Know
so
that?
So I couldn't get to the bottom of why they call them that. I found I found a theory in a forum online.
So you're
going
to accept all answers on this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, sure. That there's something like a bench leg horse. Is that right? That
never heard
right
of
you?
It.
There's something like a bench leg horse that has like shorter legs and like more of a barrel-like body. So that's where this comes from. I don't know, but I couldn't find anywhere else. Now, most bench legs appear
bench
in the Pacific.
Leg, like furniture
it's
leg.
Make, yeah, it's
Got
making
it.
Sense now.
Most bench legs appear in the Pacific Northwest. While Boone and Crockett doesn't track bench leg records, Washington and Oregon kind of do. Both states have records for Cascade blacktails, which are deer killed in an area where blacktail and mule deer herds overlap. We're on to question five. We'll get a scoreboard update after this.
Oh,
from Bill the Engineer.
It's like in California, it's always like they really want it to be a blacktail, even though it looks very much like a mule deer, right? Because it's going to score way more as a blacktail.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's either a kind of a small, okay mule deer or a giant blacktail.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, talking about mule deer, I think probably every community in the East where there's only whitetails has some story of mule deer being released back in the 40s and 50s.
That sounds like an episode of Bear Grease.
Yeah, I've never thought of it before, but like there's guys that just swear to me that in the Ozarks they released mule deer like in the 60s. And it's probably, you know, because somebody killed like a forked G2 buck.
I like it. Coming in September of 2022 from the Bear Grease podcast.
It'll be 2 minutes long.
There we go.
It didn't happen. Yeah. It'll be my intro. And then me saying it
this
didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Roll the ads and end it.
Question five, the topic is gear. Nine states have an official state firearm. Name one of them. Nine states have an official state firearm. Name one of them.
The state or the firearm?
The state. It's a good question, Clay. Name the state.
Did you get it,
Do you
Rick?
Know this?
No.
I don't either.
Does everybody have an answer?
No. You wrote down so confident.
Well, there's 50 states.
There's always there's always a state that is going to be pretty heavily involved in pro-gun type stuff.
California, you mean?
Don't give them my answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying New York, Gabby saying Wisconsin, Clay saying Wyoming, Corinne saying West Virginia, Rick saying Kentucky, Seth saying Pennsylvania, and Giannis saying Texas. The correct answer is Alaska, Arizona, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia.
Oh. Man, Clay, that was good.
That was a good guess, though. As soon as you had that,
I was like, cowboy guns.
Yeah, Clay got
it. Do you know what they are?
So the first state good to job, do this Corinne. Was Utah in 2011 when it designated the M1911 pistol as its official state gun. Other notable state firearms include Kentucky and the Kentucky Long Rifle, Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania Long Rifle,
yep.
West Virginia and the Hall Model 1819 Flintlock, and Alaska and the pre-1964 Winchester Model 70.
Ooh. Oh, shit. That's cool.
What?
Now, was Texas on the list?
Texas was on there. I think theirs was a Colt pistol, Giannis but I can't remember for certain. Giannis is already five for five.
What? I mean, what's the tie between Utah and a 1911 model 1911?
I have no idea.
John Moses Browning.
Is that it?
Was from Utah?
Yeah, definitely. Ogden, Utah. There's the Browning Museum's in Ogden, Utah.
It is, no
yeah,
kid.
John Moses Browning was from Utah, and he's Browning firearms.
That's why we got you here.
There you go. Look at that.
Well, why didn't you have that as a damn question, Spencer?
And Utah, again, was the first state to do it in 2011, so expect more states to come.
That's a curveball, too. Like, 2011? You think that would be older, but...
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Let's see. Yet to put herself on the board, Gabby. Apologies.
Shocking.
rounding up next, we got Corinne and Rick with one. Then Seth and Cal and Clay all have 2 points.
Good gravy.
And man, just flying out there in the lead is Giannis Patelis with 5 points.
Beat down.
Yeah.
Beat down.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can trip him up.
Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to LiquidIV.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at LiquidIV.com. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. These things are super cool as a gift. especially if you got mom, aunt, grandma, whoever, and you want to like keep them up to speed on what the family's up to, okay? It's easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with pre-loaded photos and memories. Named the best digital picture frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. You can share photos to the frame instantly from anywhere, meaning you share videos, photos from any device, and they will instantly appear on the frame, wherever it is in the world. There's no memory card required. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code MeatEater at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Question six. The topic is public lands. How many acres are in a section of land? How many acres are in a section of land? Some very confident answers in the room. Cal, do you not know this?
I already wrote my, my numbers down.
Very, very quick answers. Cal again, how many acres in a section of land?
I see we didn't choose the questions per the room today.
Does everybody have an answer?
Oh, shoot. I hope I didn't answer too quick. I may need to do some math.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying 640. Gabby saying 100, 640. Corinne saying 20. Rick saying 640, 640, 640. The correct answer is 640.
Hey, okay. 20 acres what, in L.A. would be the equivalent of 640 in a lot of places.
Spencer, what I was thinking maybe it was a, is it a, what do they call?
A township.
A township.
I think there's 36 townships.
36 sections in a township.
That's, yes, that's what it is.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A section of land is 1 square mile. A half section is 320 acres. A quarter section is 160. And a quarter quarter is 40. This simple system was valuable to American frontiersmen and surveyors who had a shaky grasp on mathematics. We're on to question seven. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Dolan Perry. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia at themeateater.com. What Canadian province has five of the top 10 Boone and Crockett entries for bighorn sheep? What Canadian province has five of the top 10 Boone and Crockett entries for bighorn sheep?
Not confident, Spencer.
This might be the, now you're 6 for 6, so this may be the one. Does everybody have an answer?
If Steve was here, he'd be like, shut up, Clay. Don't be saying nothing. Don't be giving no hints.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
There's only two, really.
Ooh, Cal.
Two possibilities.
Cal saying Alberta. Gabby saying BC. Clay saying BC. Corinne saying Manitoba. Rick saying Alberta, Seth saying BC, and Giannis saying BC. The correct answer is Alberta.
Oh, yes! Hashtag Berta.
Of the top 10 entries, five are from Alberta, four are from Montana, and one is from South Dakota. Alberta's biggest sheep of all time was hit by a vehicle near Longview in 2010. It's estimated that bighorn was 14 years old.
Now, Rick, did you really know that? Or
I was pretty confident.
Yeah.
You know, when you're reading off trophy stats, the age of the animal is not nearly as interesting to folks who are into trophies as the size of the animal.
How old was your sheep, Giannis?
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Nine.
You could be 10.
Well, a bunch of biologists looked at it, and they came up with answers between 8 and 10, so I've landed on 9. But I would like to know how many inches of horn that 14-year-old bighorn ram has.
I do not have that in front of me.
Really? You've never been in some trophy circles where that's kind of the number of folks
trophy circles? This circle. Me and Giannis, right. Seth, Rick.
Like, how do you measure your white-tailed deer? Is it by age, typically?
No. No, it's not. We're on to question eight.
We'll have a correction next week.
That's right. We'll get that answer for you. The topic is cooking. We'll get another scoreboard update after this. What French term roughly translates to cute filet in English? Topic is cooking. What French term roughly translates to cute filet in English? Again, what French term roughly translates to cute filet?
I'm second guessing myself
in English.
Now.
Guessing.
I don't know if I spelled it right.
Oh, it's a word that Seth couldn't spell. I'm changing mine. I know he can spell what I just wrote.
Does everybody have an answer?
Isn't Phil a Francophile?
What does that mean?
If you mean I took 2 years of it in high school?
Yes. Yes. I remember.
I'm still in the dark here. What's a Francophile?
Somebody who's into Frenchies.
Mademoiselle.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying filet mignon. Gabby saying filet mignon, Clay saying souffle, Corinne saying petit filet, Rick saying sous vide, Seth saying
mignon,
filet mignon,
filet mignon, M-I-N-I-O-N.
Listen, I told
that's
you
a mix of onion.
It's mignon.
And Giannis saying filet mignon.
Yeah, but you know what I meant.
The correct answer is filet mignon.
Oh, we should give it to right. Seth, for sure.
He can have it.
I got one.
The definition of filet mignon is a thick slice of beef cut from the narrow end of a beef tenderloin. The term was popularized in the 1906 book, The 4 Million, which portrayed the cut of meat as a symbol of luxury and romance.
And bland. That's like the most bland chunk of meat you can have.
No fat.
That's why they got to wrap it in bacon.
I won't find me ordering that. Mm-mm.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Mm-mm.
All right, the only two left in it right now are Giannis and Cal, because Giannis has 7, Cal has 5.
I think define left in it, though. Like, what's your scenario?
Well,
how many questions do we have left?
There's 2 questions left. So if Giannis doesn't get them and you do, it's a tie game.
Yeah, it's a tie game.
Yes.
Got it.
We could all gang up. We could all gang up and try to throw Giannis off.
Yeah.
Like getting his head.
Subterfuge.
Giannis.
How many tiebreaker questions do you typically come equipped with?
I write Spencer. 4 of them. We've never had to go beyond 1, but I'm ready if we have to.
We've never gone beyond 1?
No.
No way.
No.
Do you use those same 4 every trivia?
Yeah, they'll just carry over to the next one if we don't end up using any. We're on to question 9. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Daniel Woolley. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Contrary to its name, the spotted sea trout is not a trout at all. What family does it belong to? Contrary to its name, the spotted sea trout is not a trout at all. What family does it belong to? Giannis Poutelis does not know the answer.
I got a good guess.
I don't know how to spell this one either.
I don't know how to spell this one either.
Mm.
I don't think I'm right either. Son of a gun. Well,
while you guys are thinking, I just want to let you all know how much fun I've had playing trivia with you guys. I'll play with you anytime.
See how he's trying to win you over. He's trying to win twice.
We never get that from Steve.
That's right. You know what Giannis told me last time off air? He said that he wishes every day he could play Wordle and Meat Eater Trivia.
Did you spend much time fishing for sea trout and when you do your North Carolina trip?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. People love talking about how good they are. I've never been a real fan of the meat.
It's on the bland side.
Well, I think what people love is that they're relatively easy to catch.
Yes. When they're there, they're very easy to catch.
Yeah, especially if you're in the live bait game.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying croaker, Gabby without an answer, Clay saying the sea trout distant cousin family, Corinne saying eel, Rick saying char, Seth saying mackerel, and Giannis saying mackerel.
Ooh.
The correct answer is drum or croaker.
Oh.
So Cal got it.
Cal's back in the game.
We are coming down to the last question.
Clay, you almost got a good announcer voice there. Yeah, let's hear some color commentary here.
Ryan Callahan's back in the game, folks, after that incredible answer. Giannis Poutelis sweating bullets over there.
It's back.
It's back.
We got Chester on the field coming up.
Back to the wall.
Down to the final question. The topic is woodsmanship. What direction is at 225 degrees on a standard compass? What direction is at 225 degrees on a standard compass? You can see the room thinking very hard. Some of them are drawing diagrams.
What did you say, 225?
225. Giannis, do you think you know this?
I think I have a 50-50 shot at it.
Cal, do you think you know this?
Well, unless you're trying to be tricky.
What was the number again?
225. What direction is at 225 degrees on a standard compass? Does everybody have an answer?
Rod Callahan, his brows are furrowed. Yeah, Giannis still has a stone face.
It might come down to how particular you're going to want to be.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying west, Gabby saying southwest, Clay saying west, Corinne saying southwest, Rick saying southwest, Seth saying northwest, and Giannis saying southwest. The correct answer is southwest.
Wow.
Making Giannis Poutelis.
Incredible. Yay.
Wow. What a run. What a run.
Now, this win, though, is going to come with an asterisk, isn't it?
No, absolutely not.
Why would it?
Well, because Stephen Rinella's not going to let me climb up the ranks amongst the trivia winners when he's not here.
But he did. He's in town right now. And he chose not to be here.
Scared. He was scared.
He knew I was playing with all my two That's points right. over here. Mm-hmm.
Now, Giannis, where are you donating the $500?
Oh, you know what? I promised a buddy, acquaintance of mine, that I was going to do it last time. And then I didn't do it and gave it to the sheep. Mm-hmm. And I even got an email, and he's like, bro, you said. I was like, oh, I totally forgot. So
now, what do you mean you promised? Like, you talked to this person beforehand.
Yeah, he said, hey, man, if you were playing trivia and you wanted to, you could, you know. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea because, it, you know, I think just mentioning them here now on this trivia show will help them out immensely. But Daryl Radjack, I believe that's how he says his last name, runs a program called Swap out of Tennessee. And they take kids from there, from the east, and take them west. And then on opposing years, they take kids from the west back to the east.
How far west? Like western Tennessee or like
Idaho? No. Yeah. Like Rockies.
And then they'd sell them into servitude? Yeah. Or what?
What are they doing with these kids?
Where's the conservation angle?
they're just showing them the other side of the country. And what it has to offer with habitat and wildlife, landscapes, et cetera, hoping that these kids sort of head in a wildlife, resources, biology direction with their higher schooling.
And cool. if you're born in the Midwest, sorry.
Yeah. That's called a flyover state.
Coming by.
Send you to Canada.
No. Yeah. You can still go west from the Midwest.
You can go southwest.
You go
roughly
east
at
or
225
west.
Degree angle.
That's the beauty
That's
of
true.
It.
That's good. Well done, Giannis. And you Thank proved you. Me wrong. You got 8 correct with an authoritative victory. Well done.
That was impressive.
Thank you. That was.
Good job, Giannis.
Crushed it.
That's it for this game of Meat Eater Trivia. Join us next time for another round where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey, it's Steve here. Are you serious about hunting or self-defense? Well, starting in 1996, XS Sights took proven dot-the-eye sight pictures from firearms used on African safaris and applied that methodology to modern defensive handguns, all made in America and trusted by industry leaders. Meat Eater listeners can get an exclusive discount on the XS Sights website. So just go to xssights.com and use code Meat Eater at checkout for 25% off. XS Sights, the fastest sights in any light.